You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Boston Red Sox with MLB.com's Red Sox beat reporter Ian Brown. And unsurprisingly, the Red Sox seem to be one of the more aggressive teams in the early part of the hot stove, though the actual number of deals done is not exactly blowing up just yet. The headlines are, the big name right now seems to be Pablo Sandoval. What's your take on how far along that is, whether this is serious conversations or just get to know you? Where is your understanding of where that stands right now?
Yeah, I think it's pretty serious conversations. I mean, the Red Sox flew him in there, you know, obviously trying to persuade him on all things Boston. And, you know, you look at the market, and he's the one guy who's a really good fit for them because he's a left-handed bat, because he plays third base, because, you know, eventually David Ortiz might even retire, and Sandoval would be the perfect guy to maybe slot in at DH once David does retire. And he fits for a lot of reasons. So I think that they're trying to make their interest known. Not quite sure if they've made a formal offer yet, but I'm sure they're getting close to that. And, they would love to have Sandoval.
Do you get the impression that this is a two-team race? That seems to be kind of the conventional wisdom, that the Red Sox and the Giants are the two favorites. Is that your understanding?
Yeah, it sure seems like that. I mean, the thing is, you never know this time of year when a third team is kind of laying in the weeds and then it's going to jump in with, you know, an offer that's going to top everybody else. But, you know, right now it doesn't seem any other team has emerged. And it's going to be real interesting if the Giants and Red Sox make similar offers. You know, you would think Sandoval would stay in San Francisco where he's comfortable and where he's won three championships. But then again, maybe something about the allure of playing in Boston, big market, you know, a little more exposure appeals to him. So I think it'll all come into focus the next week or two.
I said to somebody yesterday, and it's just kind of a hunch, so I'm curious as to whether you think this is accurate. I get the impression that maybe the Giants are more willing to be outbid, more willing to and that maybe the Red Sox are more willing to make what might look like a risky move for a variety of reasons. Do you think that's accurate, just to say that there may be some idea that the Giants might be willing to get to a point and say, okay, look, we love you, but we're done, whereas the Red Sox might be more willing to say, we've got to get this deal done?
Yeah, I think that's accurate. I mean, the Red Sox have money this winter, and, you know, historically when the Red Sox have decided to make a move in free agency, you know, they'll go a little high. I mean, you remember with Shane Victorino a couple of years ago, they went far higher than any other team did because they really wanted him, and that could be the case here again because they do have the money, they do have the need, and they are trying to get out of last place. And, I think that's very accurate what you say.
What do they see him as a ball player? I mean, I think Sandoval's a really interesting player because he obviously has this tremendous postseason resume. But, you know, over the past 3 years, he's been a very good but not great player. He's a 280 hitter, doesn't strike out a lot, which is a nice thing in the modern game. Has some power, is a, you know, kind of a nice all-around player, but his regular season over the last few years doesn't scream superstar. Do they think they're getting a star player if they get this done, or do they just view him as best available option, good player, the right fit?
Yeah, no, I think good player, good fit. I think the Red Sox are under no illusion that, you know, Pablo Sandoval is gonna turn into, you know, one of the top 10 players in the game here. I think they know what he is. They also think that maybe coming to Boston, hitting in Fenway Park full time is gonna, you know, some of his numbers are gonna increase there. Maybe being around Ortiz a little bit, you know, going under his wing, maybe he's gonna learn a thing or two about hitting also. But, you know, they don't think he's gonna turn into a franchise player overnight. Like I said, they have the money where they can spend a little money here, and you know, I think they might do it. And I think they're very realistic about what Pablo Sandoval is, what he can be, and I think they think that he can get a little better than he has been.
One of the things that the Red Sox have shown themselves to be very conscious of over the past couple of years, in part because I think it's fair to say they made a mistake or two in this regard a few years ago, is who is a fit for that market, that environment, not just the roster, but the sort of nature of playing in Boston. And I personally think that gets overstated sometimes, but I also think we've seen sometimes there really is somebody who's not a fit. What is it that gives them the impression that he is a fit in that regard?
Yeah, I mean, you just look at this guy. He loves, kind of being, you know, the center of attention. He kind of stopped the whole postseason there, where, you know, he always, anytime a microphone or camera was near him, he had a big smile on his face, loves kind of being in the moment. And, you know, just has that sort of outgoing personality that I think would make him a fit in Boston, where you look at some of the other moves they made a couple of years ago, you know, Adrian Gonzalez, Carl Crawford, kind of reserved guys who they don't want, you know, all eyes on them. They enjoyed the sort of relative anonymity that came for Crawford playing in Tampa Bay or with Gonzalez playing in San Diego. And then all of a sudden they got these big markets and they were like, whoa, you know, they couldn't handle it. And it was even tough for John Lackey to a degree. I think he finally got used to it late in his time with the Red Sox. But it's not for everyone, and I think the Red Sox have become more conscious of that over time. And I think that after meeting with Sandoval the last couple of days, they'll get a better sense of whether he does have that type of personality. But it sure seems like he would.
Do you get the impression that the Red Sox, who have been so known for take and rake over the past 10, 12 years, are maybe looking to some degree at kind of reshaping their offense? I mean, they already had Victorino, who is again in that kind of mold, a guy who puts the ball in play, gets base hits. Sandoval might be that kind of guy. I don't know. Ruznik Castillo might be that kind of guy. Do you get the impression that, not to make too much of Sandoval, it's more kind of a philosophical question. Do you get the impression that the Red Sox are kind of looking at the offensive context and deciding that maybe, without getting away from it entirely, because OBP is life, that maybe there's need for a little more diversification in the style of offense they play?
Yeah, I think the Red Sox do think that. And the other thing is the game is changing. You know, there's just not as many of those guys around anymore. There's not as much offense in general. And look, last year the Red Sox had a decent on-base percentage. You know, I think they were top seven or eight maybe, but they couldn't drive guys in. So now they realize, look, it's great if you can get on base, but if you don't have to drive those guys in, it's not going to do you any good. So I think they're looking for some more run producers, and also just realizing that, you know, maybe they have to widen their thinking a little bit about what makes a good offensive player. Because, you know, you look at a team like the Royals this year, that wasn't a great on-base team, and they went to the World Series. It's just it's a changing landscape offensively now, so you kind of have to view things a little differently and maybe, you know, lower some of your expectations on some of this stuff. So.
And then, of course, the other big name in Red Sox land right now is John Lester, another guy who seems to be kind of making his tour right now. Now, that's a guy that there's not a lot of getting to know you that needs to happen there, but do you get the impression that that is also something that is real, that's something where there's a serious mutual interest?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of interest between Lester and the Red Sox. And I think that, you know, the Red Sox basically, like you said, they didn't have to be a lot of getting to know you, but I think they wanted to make it very clear to him how serious they were about bringing him back. And, you know, whether they've made a formal offer yet, still trying to pin that down. But I think they wanted to let him know, look, you know, we really value you. We value what you've been, who you are, what you're going to be going forward. And now it's just a matter of, you know, are the Red Sox willing to spend as much as some of these other teams? And, you know, the interesting thing is Lester said all along that it's not a matter of, you know, who blows him away at the highest offer. It's just a matter of what the best fit is for him. So it'll be very interesting to see how close the Red Sox come to some of these other teams. And if Lester does indeed just take the best offer, or if he's true to his word and kind of, you know, comes back to Boston, because that's where he's most comfortable.
Were there – I know everybody said the right things at the time of the deal, but I also know that competitive guys – are really good at finding slights where there's no actual slight. Were there, do you think, any hurt feelings at all when he was moved, or was that something where the guy really did understand and sort of get the situation and was okay with it?
I think that, you know, it's only human nature. You're traded by the only team you've ever played for, the team that drafted you right out of high school. You're going to be a little hurt, but I think, you know, after a day or two, John Lester really truly did understand the situation. And I think, to Ben Sherrington's credit, I think Ben was very open with John Lester through the whole process of when the Red Sox were falling out of contention of what the club's mindset was. So I don't think there was a big shock value with that. So I think Ben handled it really well. So I think the sting that Lester felt, I think, was probably at a minimum, and you know, any hurt feelings might have just been that they couldn't make more headway in the negotiations while they had Lester. under their property last year. But I think that the trade itself, I think Lester ultimately was okay with that. And, hey, he gets to play in a pennant race, and he got to pitch in a one-game playoff. It didn't go as well as he had hoped, but I think that you know, he couldn't really complain too much with that situation.
All right, well, Ian Brown, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.